gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. You're about to listen to Prophet Livingstone Olualola as he brings you the message of the gospel from the presence of God.
Or impulses. And if you may, a longer variation of that. Am I being inspired or I am being impulsive? Am I being inspired or I am being impulsive? Amen. From the dictionary, let me tell you the meaning of the word. Impulsive from the dictionary. From the dictionary, to be impulsive means to move by impulse, to act by impulse, or transient feelings. Transient feelings are feelings that are transient. In other words, they are short-lived. Their lifespans are very short. A transient feeling can last for 30 seconds. Yeah, it can last for 2 minutes. It can last for 5 minutes. But their lifespans are short. It can last for a day. It can last for a few days. But they have very short lifespans. The word transient means something that passes away with time. Is this okay? Now, to act by impulse or to be impulsive means to act by transient feelings. It means, listen to this, to be inclined to make rapid decisions without due consideration. It means to be inclined to make, I wish we have more people today in church because this word is for everybody. Hopefully they listen to the tapes though, in case they're not following online. It means to be inclined to rapid decisions without due consideration. In other words, it means to be hasty, to be rash, to be precipitant. I mean, these are synonyms, okay? The Lord is good. Now, many people mistake being impulsive for being prophetic. Many people mistake being impulsive for being prophetic. So they don't know how to separate what they feel in their body from what they are sensing in their spirit. Because you can feel to do something, but that's not what your spirit man is saying. You can feel to do something, but that's not what your spirit man is saying. Hallelujah. You know, there are many persons who at the time they felt like this is the person they will marry. I'm not talking about those who entered into relationships with those people. I'm talking about those who felt like this person they will marry, but when they now prayed, God now said that's not the person. So they didn't even make steps. They didn't take any steps. But initially they felt like this is the person God wants me to marry. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Because the prophetic can be spontaneous, can make us mistake being impulsive for being inspired. Because sometimes you think that as long as I am spontaneous, I am prophetic. No, you can be highly disorderly. It can be that you are just disorderly. You are not being prophetic. You are just being impulsive and you are taking steps out of divine order because you are flowing from how you feel about things. Amen. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So this means you can follow a pathway that you feel is right, but the end of that pathway is destruction. Hallelujah. Let me tell you this. If you always do what you feel, you will miss God more than half times of this period. So let's say you did what you felt like doing 100 times. I can assure you, more than 50 times you will miss God. Regina said, more than half of the time that we said God spoke to us, God did not. And more than half of the time that we said God is not speaking, God actually has been speaking. I will say that again. More than half of the time that he said God spoke to us, God didn't. And more than half of the time that he said God has not been speaking about this, more than half of those times God has been speaking about it. These are the words of Regina. If I didn't quote it perfectly, maybe I missed the word. Probably. Do you know where probably is supposed to fit into that situation? Into the sentence? If I didn't quote it perfectly, maybe I missed the word. Probably. But I'm not sure I used the word probably, just maybe. This is to say that we... You see, this is what I'm preaching. I won't need to even preach it if we are in a... if we are a very strong teaching ministry and we are not inclined to the prophetic, this message may not mean anything to you guys. But because we have a feel of we are prophetic, you get what I'm saying? We have a sense that we are prophetic. We believe that we are prophetic, don't we? We believe that we are prophetic. That's why I'm speaking this truth, and that's why I'm preaching this message to you. That this is a message that is highly important so people like you would think that they are prophetic. Or don't you think that you are prophetic? Yes or no? Amen. The Lord is good all the time. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever felt like this is God and at the end it wasn't God? So I'm talking to the right audience. That's a litmus test that I'm in the right church, giving them the right message. Pastor Dan, I know you are very prophetic, you are very spiritual. I know you almost never get it wrong, unlike people like us. So have you ever been in that place where you felt like this is what God will have me do? And later you felt like you were wrong. You've been there. Amen. Prophet Tumi Ayomi said, the number of... How many of us know Prophet Tumi Ayomi? Good. Prophet Tumi Ayomi said, the number of his prophecies that were not accurate are more than the ones that are accurate. Yeah. Should I say that again? Professor Ayomi said, the number of his prophecies that were not accurate, he said this in a company of prophets, an in-house closed school that I attended at the time. So he said to us that his number of prophecies that were not accurate are more than the ones that were accurate. Or let me use the word, that didn't come to pass. He said the same thing. He's saying, okay, that's just a religious way to make it sound like you did it right. It's the same thing. I'm going to say from scriptures. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So he said, the numbers that didn't come to pass are more than the ones that came to pass. But what is his comfort? His comfort is that the ones that came to pass, they came to pass loud. The ones that came to pass, everybody saw it on the TV. So that's loud enough for you to know that I'm a prophet of God. That's loud enough for you to know that God called me. The word of the Lord is in my mouth. I am the mouthpiece of God. Amen. So again, for those of you that think that you are prophetic, this is your word. Amen. There is something called presumption. Presumption. Let me read to you what it means to be presumptuous from the dictionary again, because of course, we're still going to do scriptures. I'm sure you are aware. Presumptuous. What does it mean? From dictionary, to be presumptuous means to make unwarranted presumptions or assumptions, often out of arrogance. Often out of arrogance. One of the most arrogant people are the prophetic. Is this clear? This is not a message that indicts the prophet. Thank God you know we're a prophetic church and I'm a prophet. I know that I am a prophet. By the message of God. So this is not a message that indicts the prophetic, but this is a message that brings order to prophetic people. Amen? So I said one of the most arrogant people are the prophetic. And what's the strength of their arrogance? The fact that they have come to believe that they can see and they can hear. Is this okay? They have not come to really tell that it is not everything that they see that God is showing them. And it's not everything that they hear that God is saying. Should I say that again? It is not everything you see that God is showing you. And it's not everything that you hear that God is saying. This means I can see visions that God is not giving me. And I can hear voices that God is not speaking. Clear enough? I mean, Matthew chapter 4 is a clear word into that. The temptations of Jesus in the wilderness. The Bible says Jesus had three different temptations that were recorded. He had more than three, of course, but after the 40 days of fasting and prayer, he has three recorded temptations. And all of these temptations were visionary experiences that Jesus had. The Bible says the enemy took Jesus, the tempter took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the glories of the world. There is no physical mountain that you can stand and see all the glories of the world. Not even Everest. Is this clear? And the distance between Everest to where Jesus was when the tempter had this temptation with him was a wild distance. So it is not that Jesus went to Everest. Is this okay? So it meant that the tempter took Jesus in a visionary experience, right, to a dimension that feels like a plain, a mountain, and show them the glories of this world. Is this okay? So it means that the experience that Jesus had may not be that it was on a physical mountain, but the interpretation of that experience is that I was taken to a mountain and I was shown all the glories and the splendors of this world. Is this clear? Amen. So this means that if I am not discerning as a prophetic person, I can see things in the spirit, and I may not be able to discern that this thing I'm seeing, it is not the Lord that is showing me. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. So, let me reiterate. It's not everything you see that God is showing you. It's not everything you hear that God is saying. So you can hear voices that sounds like God, but it's not of God. You can see things that seems like God, but God is not showing you. Is this okay? Amen. Now, just to lay a little foundation for that, I wrote in my book, Demystifying Dreams, about 4 sources of dreams there, and I spoke about dreams that come from the realm of heaven, from God, the kingdom realm, dreams that come from the dark realm, demonically influenced dreams, where the spirit, a demonic spirit is telling somebody something in the spirit, and the spirit man is receiving the frequencies as images and graphics. Is this okay? Yes. Then dreams can also come from the multitudes of the business of the heart. Multitudes of activities, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. So you can be thinking a lot about things, and the kind of things you are thinking, you have dreams about those things. Is this clear? Good. Dreams can also come from very strong desire. So you can be desiring fufu, and you will dream that somebody gave you fufu. Amen. Give me one nice soup that goes with fufu. I need the one you will say. So if that's why I need the one you say, because I'm a fufu fan. Hallelujah. So you're dreaming about fufu and one original Edika Icon soup, you know, that beats you, that slaps the fufu. Amen. So you're just thinking about that, and then you fell asleep and you saw yourself eating fufu. May you not wake up seeing that you have ate half of your pillow. Amen. I'm just joking. Now look at this. It means from the multitude of the things of the heart, people can have dreams. Amen. People can also have dreams according to the state of their souls. Right? According to the state of their soul. Now, so there are different sources of dreams like that. You know. This is to say that it's not every dream that is a thought said the Lord. Is this clear? We agree? This also means it's not every vision that is a thought said the Lord. This also means it's not every trance that is a thought said the Lord. This also means that it's not every voice you hear in your spirit that is a thought said the Lord. Hallelujah. We must be aware as prophetic people that we are not people that follow voices. We are people that follow the Spirit. Should I say that again? We are not people who follow what? Voices. We are people who follow the Spirit. And the Spirit has myriads of ways of communicating to us. Of course, the voice of the Lord is one of them. But the voice of the Lord comes to us in different dimensions and different ways. The word of the Lord comes to us in different ways. It comes to us in different shapes, different measures, different dimensions. And so, to think that the only way we can receive of the Holy Spirit is by a voice is to be deceived. Is this okay? Amen. By the way, we must be aware, in the New Testament, the greatest way to discern the leading of the Spirit is not voice, is not sound. It's not sound. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All of you, unanimous. I'm looking at you. All of you are saying, it's the word. That's not what I wanted to say. What I wanted to say is, it's the witness of the Spirit in our hearts. The Bible says, for the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Is this okay? Good. This means that, in fact, you see, this is the word you are saying. People have read this word and made mistakes in life. Hallelujah. Like somebody is thinking of committing suicide. And then he says, whatever I read in the word, I believe it to be the word of the Lord to me in this moment. And as he opened his word, what he saw was, what you have to do quickly. Is it not the word? It's the word. Or what I just said is not in the Bible. It's in the Bible, the words of Jesus to Judas. So that's where he felt led to. But of course, it's the demon that's leading him. Is this okay? So it means that the strength of our discernment as believers is anchored to our ability to be able to discern the inward witness of the Holy Spirit. Is this okay? The inward witness of the Holy Spirit, the capacity to be able to feel, perceive, receive, interpret what the Spirit of the Lord is communicating in our inner man, even though we didn't hear a sound. Because the word of the Lord is not always sound intuitive. The word of the Lord is not always sound adaptive. The word of the Lord does not always come in the shape of a sound. And that's why, if we are people led and driven by voices, the enemy is going to take advantage of us, because it means that we have now put God in a box and say, the Lord always speaks to me, I hear an audible voice. That's one of the primary ways God speaks to us. Can you hear an audible voice? Of course, supernaturally, spectacularly, but even Jesus, the Bible only records 2 times that audible voice spoke in his ministry, from what I have seen. Right? When he was being baptized, and transfiguration second. But there was a third one in the book of John, where the Bible says some edits that he thundered. I've glorified you, now glorify your son. Hallelujah. Some said they ate the son as though he thundered. Is this clear? Mm-hmm. Now, Jesus, in his time of ministry, Bible recorded 3 times of those kind of spectacular experience. But for you, you say your primary way of hearing God is audible. But if it is not audible, it's not yet God. What you're doing is that you are setting up yourself to be deceived, because the enemy will not take advantage of your belief system. Let me tell you something. As long as your doctrine is wrong, your perception will be wrong. Is this okay? A wrong doctrine will lead to wrong perception. Because your doctrine is what determines your belief system. Your belief system is what determines your receiving system. And your receiving system is what determines your discernment. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says, the natural man cannot receive The things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You know, that scripture shows us three technology of spiritual communication. One, discerned. Two, receive. Three, know. The natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So it begins by discerning the witness of the Spirit. Actually, it begins by receiving the witness of the Spirit. Because it is what you receive will not discern. So I can receive a dream, but I have to now discern the witness of the Spirit in the dream. So the Bible says the natural man cannot receive, neither can he know them. Amen. Somebody read that scripture for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It should be around verse 12. Let's read the scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12, verse 13, thereabout. Okay, please read for me. So it begins with, natural man cannot receive the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So this means we receive, now look at this, we receive by discernment, and we know by discernment. But the transition from receiving to knowing is called judgment. So the next verse says, the spirit of man judges all things. The transition point from receiving to knowing is judgment. The ability to be able to judge what you have received, to know the witness of the Spirit from that experience, is called judgment. So the Bible says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judge of no man. Hallelujah. Are we being instructed? Glory to Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. Amen. You see, last week I was talking about being a student of yourself and being a student of your walk with God. So learn how to discern the patterns of your walk with God, because that's one of the things that is going to help you to avoid mistakes and errors in your life. It becomes more dangerous when you now become a family man, because your mistake now affects the whole family. And a family woman, because your mistake now affects the whole family. So it becomes more dangerous when you have people leading you, that you're leading. It still now becomes more dangerous if you're in leadership in business, leadership in ministry, leadership in church. It's more dangerous because now your errors is affecting everybody. Everybody is putting their strength into it, but the vision is wrong from the beginning. And they're wondering, why is this thing not working? We're giving it our strength, we're giving it our best. Why is it not growing? Why is it not happening? Meanwhile, from the edge, things have already gone wrong. So the weight of presumption, are you following me? Is heavier on the edge than the crown. And the consequence of presumption is heavier for the one in leadership. Amen. So let me ask you, from the patterns of your walk with God, the times that you got it wrong, did you go back to check what made you get it wrong? Or you just went through the motions and said, oh, I was wrong there. Were you not so sure? You didn't go back to check, Lord, how come I got it wrong there? So that you can learn from it, and in case you find yourself in that, at that same place again, oh, I've been here before. Because you see, only a fool falls into the same error twice. The first one was a mistake, the second one was foolery. Amen. The first one was a mistake, the second one is foolery. It's foolishness. So if you notice that you made a mistake once in your discernment, and then you made a mistake again after 3 months, it means you're not a student, you're not learning, you're not paying attention to the end that you can learn from your own journey. There's certain mistakes you shouldn't make twice. There's certain mistakes you shouldn't make at all. You notice that, you made that decision brashly. You made it in a hurry. It means that when you find yourself at that junction again where you need to make a very important decision, you're not going to make an announcement too quick. You take time to pray, to fast, to wait upon the Lord, to steal the voice of your desire. Because maybe the last time you made mistakes, the issue was that your desire was louder than your discernment. So the voice of your desire was louder than the voice of your discernment. That the only thing you're just hearing is that it is him. It is him. Him shall you marry. Oh, it is her. It is her. Her shall you marry. There was a time I had an heartbreak. I didn't have an heartbreak in Jesus' name. But I broke up with a lady. It wasn't an heartbreak because God told me to leave her. So you get this. So I'm the one who walked away. But before I did, I took time to pray. I prayed for like a week for myself, for the lady, before I told her that, oh, okay, I need to pull away, you know. And shortly after that, I had a dream where I saw myself getting close to a sister. I guess a sister's image in my dream. And then I woke up from the dream like, Kai, most certainly, see, he's the one. Are you following me? I felt like most certainly, see, he's the one. So this sister, I met her somewhere in Abuja some years, maybe 3 years before that time. But we're not very close. But I feel like when I look around, I feel like she's not bad. She's not been bad, you know. It can actually work, you know. But you know what helped me? What helped me was the fact that I was a student, and as a student, I learned things to apply. So one time, I once read Rick Joyner. Rick Joyner said, "Never trust your dreams when your heart is not in its best place." So I knew that I just left a relationship, and according to this dear man of God of Potter's House, anybody know his name? Potter's House, America. Bishop T.D. Jakes. Bishop T.D. Jakes said, you need at least 3 months to heal from a relationship. 3 or 6 months? To heal from a heartbreak. So you have no business with another lady. You have no business seeing another vision in at least 3 months' time. But mine was like 2 days. Mine was like 2 days. Amen. Do you know what the fleshy spiritual man will do? God, he will say, God is with a quick work in righteousness. He said, this is the zeal of the Lord. The Bible says the zeal of the Lord will perform this. Amen. Uh-huh. The plowman shall overtake the reaper. So it is the season of speed. No, I've been hearing speed in my spirit for the past few days. So I didn't notice how the Lord was a baby. Thank you, Lord. That's how they end. Thank you, Lord. So it means that the flesh can be scriptural. Amen. This is a message to listen to again and again. The flesh can be scriptural. Ma? Of course. It can't be spiritual. Because the Bible says the spirit lost against the flesh, the flesh lost against. Lost against means they are inconsistent controversy. Yes, they are inconsistent contradiction. So there's no way the flesh can be spiritual, but the flesh can be scriptural. So it means that, especially if you're a worded person, your flesh will find scripture from your heart. Amen. So what happened then? I didn't need knowledge of scriptures then. Maybe I didn't have enough knowledge of scriptures to help me then. So God just brought to my heart a remembrance of what I read. Amen. So let me tell you how to store things in your heart. Take note of them. What's the title of the book where I read that stuff? in Rick Joyner's books. I don't know. But when I read that line, I took note of it. And in taking note of it, it stayed with me. And it's that, don't trust your dreams when your heart is in a bad place. When you have heart issues, you're sad, you're angry, you're depressed, you're in that bad place emotionally. Don't trust your dreams. It doesn't mean that God cannot speak through your dreams at those times. It simply means that trust the Lord to confirm that dream through other multiple witnesses. Is this okay? The Lord is good. All the time. So I said, the way to stop things in your heart is by what? Is by what? Take note. By take note, I don't mean you write it down. Mentally register it. Somebody say mental registration. Amen. So mentally register it in your heart. Register it in your mind that when I'm in a situation like this, I should not do this. You read it somewhere, but you mentally registered it. So you didn't just read it like, you know, when you're reading books, you read a lot of things. A book is a compendium of knowledge. So there are many things you are reading, but there are certain things that you eat like, I've never seen this one before. Those ones, a time that you know that you're going to need at a certain point in your life, register them mentally, and of course, write them down. Because one of the ways things stick more in our mind is by writing them down. Is this okay? Deuteronomy chapter 18 verse 22. The Bible says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing followeth not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet that has spoken it is presumptuously. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of such a prophet. Amen. Amen. Is it clear? So, this is God saying, if a prophet says something, he didn't say the prophet is false. He simply says, that one prophet spoke presumptuously. No, the prophet is not false. To call a man of God a false prophet, God will come for your neck. That statement may not be right, but the prophet is not false. He's a true prophet of God. Genuine, called, anointed. But he gave a word out of presumption because all of us are still growing. That's why I said, prophet told me that when he said, he has given more prophecies. Is this okay? The Lord is good all the time. Look at your life. Amen. And the things you have written down in your journal, especially those ones that have time. In it. And ask, as you are writing, ask yourself, me writing this thing, am I a presumptuous prophet? Is this clear? You know that Supan Telabahasi Televamunatiagabar. We can write things presumptuously from prayers. And say that you wrote them in the moment of prayers doesn't mean that it's accurate. That you wrote them in the moment of prayers doesn't mean that it is precise. Is this clear? Because what makes the word precise is not prayer, it's the state of the heart. It's not prayer. So you can be praying, Matabaya. So, let me give you a perfect example. God has been saying, relocate. So I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I take this land, the one you see, I take this land. I permitted. The Bible says, "Wherever the soul of my feet are tread, God has given it to me." And as you begin to pray, you begin to see visions of major things happening with you in the land that God said you should relocate from. But you don't want to hear him. But as he's praying, because the guy is what? As he's praying, he's confessing scriptures. The Bible says, south, for the Lord has given you the land. Yeah, I take this city. The Bible says, he just kept on confessing scriptures about territories and, you know. And the more he prayed, the more he began to see. I see the door of government open to me in this city. And then he wrote it down. God is going to. And angels are just nodding their head and saying, wow. Amen. The Bible says the prophet has spoken presumptuously. Do you know what the meaning of one word in the dictionary of presumptuous? It means somebody speaking or doing things from arrogance. One, it means self-confidence. And also that is overconfidence. Overconfidence is the state of heart that makes you feel like you can never be wrong. And that's one of the roots of being presumptuous. That feeling, that posture of heart that you can't be wrong, is one of the roots of presumptuousness or presumptiveness. It's prophetic arrogance, but there's nothing like that. It's religious arrogance. Can we be wrong? Can we be wrong? Good. Can we be prophetic people that guess it wrong? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 19, verse 13. Psalm 19, verse 13. I want everyone to open there. We're going to read together. Are we there? One to go. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let him not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent before the great transgression. This is David saying, I know I can make mistakes, sir. I know I can feel like it is God that was speaking to me, but it wasn't God. So keep your servant from presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin is the sin of presumptuousness. It is the sin of spiritual assumption. You spiritually assumed. Amen. One of my prayers, I used to pray it long ago, but it's been a while I prayed that prayer. I think I'm still going to adopt it again. Is that, Lord, when I get it strong, don't let me go too far before you recover me. Anytime I get it wrong, anytime I miss the mark, don't let me go too far before you recover me. Before, that's one of my prayers for a long time. Don't let me go. And I found God answered that prayer. I know he's going to answer it to the end of my days. But once again, I can still remind him. That I've taken steps, 1, 2, 3, and then feel like, this thing. God is not in this thing. So, the Lord, by his mercy, will recover me, restore my steps, and help me find alignment again. So, it's a prayer that you should always pray. Lord, if I ever get to miss it, don't let me go too far before you restore me. The Bible says, thou restorest my soul. So, this restoration is part of the assignment of the shepherd. The soul that needs restoration is the sheep that strays. Is this okay? So, the part of the ministration of the shepherd to the sheep is that the shepherd understands that because of the frailty and the weakness of the sheep, sometimes the sheep can go astray. So, it is part of the assignment of the shepherd to restore stray sheep, to lead them back home. Hallelujah. May the Lord keep us from presumptuous sin. In the name of Jesus. You know, many times you find ourselves in that place, the Lord told me to go. And God is wondering when. And we are so sure. Hallelujah. And we are so sure. We are so sure that God told me to go. I'm going to help you to see how to separate impulsiveness from inspiration. So that when inspiration comes, you won't doubt it. Is this clear? Second Peter chapter 2 verse 10. Another weakness that leads to presumption or being impulsive in working with God. I've mentioned one or two. I spoke about arrogance. Amen? What did I speak about again? Overconfidence. And I said it's the root of presumption. Overconfidence. You're too confident in yourself. Now, another one is being self-willed. Being self-willed. It means you want to do what you want to do. That's one of the things that leads to being impulsive and being presumptuous and missing God and walking in error. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 10. The Bible says, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. So presumptuous people are self-willed. They want to do what they want to do. And they don't want people to be able to redirect their steps. Amen. Let me tell you this. It's a strength for you to be confident and to be determined. But to be confident and to be determined can also become your weakness if you take it overboard. Is this okay? This is the reason for which if I pick something and my spiritual oversight tells me to check it again, I wouldn't say I really don't care who is not comfortable. Sometimes Eli is blind. And Eli can't tell Samuel, that one is even a stupid person. It's your sister man, your covering that you are talking about in that regard that sometimes Eli is blind and your mouth can say that or your heart can think that. Nah. It just really shows that first heart have gone too far. That person has gone astray. The person doesn't know. It never show, but the person don't go. Is this okay? Uh-huh. So it is a strength to be determined in the context of the Lord spoke to you and you are sure and you went to your spiritual oversight and spiritual oversight told you or your mentors and they told you, this one, I think you should check it again. Don't leave there saying, I will check it again, but I'm still going to do what I want to do because I heard God. Voila. That's being self-willed. You should humbly say, okay, and genuinely check it again without thinking that I know I can't be wrong. You know, you can check it again with an asshole so that I don't get it wrong. Are you clear? Yes. But genuinely check it again. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 2 from verse 4, verse 3 and verse 4. The Bible says God spoke to us and it was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God, please open it and see for yourself. Just in case you are finding, is there confirmations in the Bible? Do we need confirmations? Check. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's open it. Verse 3. After we escape, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Thank you so much. So it was spoken to us by the Lord, Pastor Dan, and then it was confirmed unto us by those who hear it. This means you are not the only one that hear him. If on major areas of your life it is only you that is correct, and every other person is wrong, people that you know they've been getting it right before about you, people that have always trusted their witnesses, suddenly you want to get married and you're feeling like sometimes God brings us a frequency of oppression in the spirit. It's a new order. People may not get it now, but I feel like I'm faster than my days. You still be faster than your shadows. The way you are going, you still be faster than this because these guys have always gotten it right in praying with you. But now you want to get married, and then you perceive a sister, and everybody, including your oversight, feels like, I just really feel something about this thing. I think she's checking again. I feel like, but anytime I pray, I just feel a grain. Okay, drop the grain. Thank you. Keep the grain somewhere. Are you following me? And genuinely, what to even do with that is to tell the sister, she said, just give me time. In fact, you should not even have gone to that. If you have sense, you should not have gone to that point. You shouldn't have spoken to sister. Yes, now, until you have some confirmation from people that hear God, sister shouldn't know that you're interested in her or yet. Is this clear? So, drop the grain and just leave the matter and say, Lord, speak into this. Speak into this. All right, you gave me a word, I believe you, but these are the pillars of my life. Men are the pillars of our life. There are walls that God has placed around us to keep us, hallelujah, from the attacks of the enemy. So, Lord, the walls in my life, the gatekeepers of my destiny. Did anybody say? The gatekeepers of my destiny, the midwives of my journey, they feel like this woman is not the one. Lord, let's check it again, because as far as I'm concerned, Lord, if they are not, give me a go ahead, I'm not going ahead. If you speak to God like that, God will know that you have not just common sense, you have spiritual sense, and you have scriptural sense. Because what you just display to God is that you understand order in the spirit. That's what you just prove to God. Just prove to God that you understand spiritual order. Is this clear? Amen. Could it be that certain persons are not comfortable? Yes, certain persons will not be comfortable. But key figures, you should have the witnesses of key figures. I don't mean key figures you just met yesterday. People who know you, who have been a part of your journey for long. You get a friend to say, it should not be now that you want to go to America. Pastor now says, you should not go yet. Say, Pastor is not in my current season. Pastor says, I should not go to America. Something that I've been praying about. Pastor is not in my current season. It's not in the current phase of my dealings and operations with God. I know Pastor will catch up. Amen. That's the voice of foolishness. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Are we blessed? Iman di go gladia sovianata. Sabaradaba. Now look at this, Jeremiah 14:14. I'll begin to wrap up now. Jeremiah 14:14. The Bible says, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them. Neither speak unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. Amen. I want you to be aware that the prophets that Isaiah spoke about here did not know that they are giving the wrong word. Did you read the scripture with me? Let us read it together again. Jeremiah 14:14, one to go. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither speak unto them. They prophesy unto me a false vision and divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. So these prophets did not know that they are prophesying the wrong thing. They didn't know that the Bible says they prophesy a false vision. That means they prophesy what they saw. Did they make themselves see it? No. But what they saw was false, because God was not the one giving it. Is this clear? So it means that somebody can prophesy, you can receive things that you feel like it's the right thing, but it's not the Lord. Is this clear? Now, the Bible gave us the reason why they fell into this deception. Let's talk about the deceit of their own heart. So this means that these prophets themselves are deceived. Is this where? These prophets themselves are what? They've been deceived. So they themselves have been deceived by the spirit of deception, but they do not know it. One of the lorings of the spirit of deception is that it makes your desires become your idol. When your desires become your idol, you become a prey for the spirit of deception. Suddenly your visions become manipulated. Your dreams become manipulated. The voices you hear become manipulated. Because now, instead of a sacrificial lamb, you have a golden calf. So what you're worshipping now is a golden calf on an exalted altar. The idols of the desires of your heart. The elders of Israel came to Ezekiel and they said to Ezekiel, "We desire you a prophecy. We desire of you a prophecy. Would you prophesy to us? What is the Lord wanting us to do at this season?" And the prophet looked at them and said, "Thus saith the Lord to you, elders of Israel, I'm going to answer you according to the desires of your heart." In other words, I'm going to tell you what you want to hear, not what I want you to know. So it means the Lord in his operation can release people into the flows of deception if their heart is wrong. And they have exalted idols of their desires as against discernment of the will of the Lord. And you know, I said something the other time. Now when the voice of desire becomes so loud, discernment is weakened. So, whatever you desire so much that you feel like you cannot do without is your idol. Whatever you desire so much that you feel like you cannot let go is your idol. Hallelujah. Another word for worship, listen to me. Another word for worship is great admiration. So whatever you greatly admire is your idol. because worship is great admiration. Admiration is good because I found that anybody you don't admire, you can't receive from them. But the people you receive from can become your idol. When they become your idol, they become your veil from hearing God. Because now it feels like it is not of God as long as Papa has not confirmed it. So Papa has become your idol. She said, but Papa should confirm it. Again, confirmations can become your idol. Paul said, when the Lord spoke to me, I did not confer with flesh and blood. I immediately obeyed the Lord. Is this clear? There are certain times that God gives you certain specific instructions. You just need to step out and just obey the Lord. Is this okay? You know, the easiest way to meet God is on things that are religious. And I have a feel of good to them. Should I say that again? The easiest way to meet God, or the easiest area where we meet God, are on things that are religious, things that have a sense of spirituality to them, and that have a sense of good or goodness attached to them. So there was a time that a prophet told me he was coming to Pankton, and I told my wife, I'm going to Pankton for that meeting. I mean, that's the time to fellowship with the man of God, and not fellowship with the man of God, be under his meeting, yeah, and serve. Consciously, I wanted to serve at the meeting. So I didn't make up my mind I'm going to Pankton for that meeting. And the Spirit of the Lord came in, the Spirit of the Lord said, so what are you going to Pankton to go and do? I said, Lord, I want to go and serve. I said, Lord, I want to go and serve at the meeting. I said, I want to go and serve at the meeting, and I just want to be, I mean, it's a good place to be, Lord, don't you think? Amen. The Lord is good. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, I'm not sending you to Pankton. I was in the restroom that day when God was speaking to me. So I opened up my phone and started typing. So God started speaking to me about desires. out that we will miss him greatly if we consistently follow our desires. Desire means what I think is good. So that you think is good doesn't mean that God thinks that it is good. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So that I think that it makes sense. One of my dreams in life is to build a major hotel facility, right? I think we have to do it in different places for ministers. So one is looking to the Lord, said, I'm not sending you that. There are others that I've sent to do that. Focus on what I've sent you. Amen. Ma? Isn't it a good thought to build hotels for ministers that are traveling? To just come and lodge. God said, I did not send you. Amen. One of the ways you can easily separate inspiration from impulsiveness is that inspiration will always flow in the direction of inspiration. But impulse will take you away from the direction of inspiration. In other words, inspiration will usually flow in the direction of what he has said before. But impulse will usually flow away from what he has said before. Away from what he has said before is the seducing spirit that wants to take you astray. You know what it means to be astray? You're going like this. And suddenly you feel like turning right. Is this clear? So many times, you know that it is inspiration because it is in the... What is prophetic inspiration? Prophetic inspiration is a new wave of the same stream. Prophetic inspiration is a new wave of the same stream. So, a water that is flowing comes with consistent, unending waves. Am I right? So, a flowing water comes with waves, unending waves. So, we know it is prophetic inspiration because it's the same stream that I'm used to, and God is bringing a new wave into the stream. So, it is not something that is disconnected from the stream of what I am used to. In other words, impulse will lead you away from instruction. Inspiration will lead you in alignment with previous instructions because God is not impulsive. So God does not have the nature of changing the instructions consistently. It is men that are impulsive. God is not. God is not impulsive. So God doesn't have the nature of... I said that last year. I said that we are going to travel. I think we shouldn't travel again. That's the word of man. God is not impulsive. Can God say you should not travel again? Yes. But I bet you, if you come with many witnesses to confirm that this is the Lord, especially if it is a convinced thing that God wanted you to travel and you already told you that, and you're not going to travel again for certain reasons, God is going to bring many witnesses to tell you that. But I'm saying, God does not have the character of change like men. The Bible says with him there is no variableness or shadow of turning. It means that kosikalukalu with God. Hallelujah. She's actually a dino kalukalu. I don't even know what it is. I don't know how to tell you what it is in English. No. There's no shadiness with God. With God, white is white, black is white. If we are doing white, we are doing white consistently. Amen. So let me tell you this. God told you to start pastoring. But one day you went to a prophetic meeting and suddenly you feel like you should start a prophetic school. And then you feel like you should start a prophetic school. You do not know that what you are picking is the sound in the atmosphere. It's not for you.
Yes, sir.
It's the sound, it's the cloud of the atmosphere. So check if it is your sound. Come on there first. Maybe say come on your head. Then maybe after a week, If he returns again, leave it again. If he returns again, this thought is not leaving me. You cannot trust that I still is the Lord. You get what I'm saying? The thought is not leaving me. This perception is not leaving me. This thing, as much as I'm pushing it, it kept on coming. I feel like God is saying something else into the work. Because this thought is not leaving. I knew I was called as a prophet since 2012. So in 2015, I followed Bro Sam. I followed him home for the burial of his mom in 2015. And 2015 or 2016, thereabout. And while we got to their house, his elder brother said, as you were entering, I saw your forehead. His younger brother said, as you entered, I saw your forehead, Apostle. In my mind, I said, they don't come again, all these people. Who sent you to the sitting? I'm a prophet, I beg. That's what I did. I didn't put it to heart. He said, as you were coming, I saw it on my forehead, Apostle. I think he's the first person to tell me about the apostolic ministry that I carry. But I didn't believe him. And I did not put it to heart. Because what God told me is that I'm a prophet. Hallelujah. Then in 2018, 2019, I was in a meeting with my mentor, and I looked at him and he said, if you can't understand him, he said, the Spirit of the Lord says, it is not just a prophetic destiny is dealing, there's also an apostolic destiny there, and there's an apostolic calling, and I started speaking. When he was done, I received every other one, but that one, I didn't receive it, because God has not spoken to me, God has not told me yet. Is this okay? God had not spoken to me about it at all as at that time. And then, later again, I went to a meeting. I think this was, okay. This one happened in 2016. 2017, I went to a meeting. I ministered. Then when I was done, somebody said, as a minister, I saw that you're holding something. You said I gave symbol. He said, I'm seeing a strong apostolic ministry. I said, for where? I'm a prophet. No, none of you can make me an apostle. I am a prophet of God. Hallelujah. Now, later, God said, so what is this thing about you pushing away the apostolic office that you carry? And I said, Lord, but we agree that I'm a prophet, right? Because I also love to be a prophet and just that. I love the prophetic office. But when I heard God, I remember that as I was writing, the Lord said, I've called you as a prophet to the nation and an apostle to the body of Christ. The Lord said it 7 times. So I wrote it 7 times. Just so that I can believe. I wrote it first time. I've called you. I was like, oh yeah, I've written that. Just write it again. I said, yeah. So write it again. I wrote 7 times in my journal. I've called as a prophet to the nations and an apostle to the body of Christ. So I became convinced that it is the voice of the Lord. Is this clear? I said that to say, God does not hastily change directions. God will come to me and say, you know, they prophesied to you that you are an apostle. And you didn't take it for that reason. No. God is my father. And moreover, I will not become an apostle because they said so. If God hadn't told me, I will not do anything with it. I wouldn't do anything with it if God had not spoken to me. Is this clear? This is to say, it is men that hastily change direction, not God. It is men that hastily change direction, not God. Now let me also say, one of the roots of impulsiveness is haste. Haste. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, those who believe will not be in haste, or will not make haste. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16 to 17, it says, therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. 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 Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to deployment. Are you following me? Whatever we receive, let's not hastily take steps. Judge it by God's righteousness. He that believe will not make it. I have made judgment and righteousness the measuring rule of the things that you receive. So it means allow things to pass the test of time. My prophet said to me one time, he spoke from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. Let me confirm that. The scripture that says, don't judge anything until it is its time. So this means there is a time that brings perfect understanding of prophetic mysteries, perfect understanding of what you receive. First Corinthians 4:5. That's the scripture. Don't judge anything until it is its time. I've had dreams that I wrote down in my journal about me seeing myself and certain person is doing some major work. And I just wrote them down in my journal. There was one that played out recently. I saw I and somebody working on some tech project. And I just wrote it down. I saw this in 2021. And I wrote it down in my journal. And after writing it in my journal, I just left it there. So earlier this year, the person reached out to me and said, I want to bring you up on a project that I'm working on. It's a tech project. And the Lord reminded me that, remember you saw a dream that, so I went back to my dream and I saw the dream 2021. You know. So, but when I saw the dream, I just wrote it down because don't judge anything until it is its time. If the Lord has revealed it, the Lord can make it come to pass. But you know, there's a way I can impossibly respond to that and say, sir, I sense in my spirit. If I was even an elder, it would be foolishness for me to start going to start. He can immediately know that is zeal. There's emptiness in the word. Even though what I saw was true. But you see, if he is not as inspired as I was inspired, there's no connection. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. And let me also say, let us be wary of trying to take steps in alignment with prophecies by impulse. So if the Lord says you are going into business, don't wake up the next day and go and buy clothes and say we'll start selling clothes. Stay on it. Pray. Stay on it. Is it time? I read and learned from Bill Ammon. Bill Ammon says, if you're working in the bank and someone comes to prophesy to you that I see you on the mission field, Bill Ammon said, keep working in the bank. Don't leave your job and go to the mission field. Keep working in the bank until the maturation of prophecy in the fullness of time. So, when it is time for you to go to the mission field as the seer had seen, the Lord is going to make it come to pass, and it is going to be according to spiritual timelines and order. Because somebody can give somebody a word like that, and the person the next week, the person has resigned, I'm going to the mission field. And the person suffers greatly. I mean, like, but did God not send you to the mission field? God sent you, but you left by impulse, not by inspiration. So, look at this. Paul warns the Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 3 now. Having begun in the spirit, do you not want to continue in the flesh? He says, the word of faith I was preached to you, was it by the flesh or by the spirit? He that wrought miracles amongst you, dwelt he by the flesh or by the spirit? The spirit of God that you received, was it by the flesh or by the spirit? I'm speaking from Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 5. So it means there is a possibility to begin a venture in the spirit and continue in the flesh. So you can begin by inspiration and continue by impulse. We must understand timing, prophetic people. You must understand timing, because to do the right thing at the wrong time is to ruin and abort a prophetic mission. To do the right thing at the wrong time is to abort prophetic mission, owing or at the exception of the recovery of mercy. We did KCT last year. Last year was 2024. We did KCT last year, it was 2024. And the Lord spoke to me about KCT since 2019. When I was coming to the also Professor meeting, the Lord said, like Professor's prophetic conference, they're going to host prophetic conferences across places. And I said, okay, Lord, I wrote that down. This was 2019 August. But I didn't do anything about it until the Lord came again in 2023. End of 2023, and the Lord said it's time. Right, did a prayer watch around it and begin to pray about it. And we started praying. We did a 70 days prayer, and in 2024, we did a prophetic conference, and it was amazing. It was massive. There were a lot of results and fruits that God gave us from there. The word came to pass, or the word started coming to pass, because we just started prophetic conferences. We still have a long way to go. The word started coming to pass 5 years later. If I had taken steps in the flesh and say, God starts to do prophetic conference, and I start taking moves, I will be frustrated because, you see, let me tell you this. The power of God does not follow impulse, it follows inspiration. So, the power of God that brought the favor, that brought open doors, that brought access, that brought monetary support that we need, it did not follow my impulse. It followed the inspiration that I was following. So, I was following prophetic inspiration, and the power of God was following the inspiration. Or the power of God came with the inspiration, because the inspiration is the power, actually. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. You know, it was the same time that the Lord spoke this to me. That same day that God also gave me the word about going to Ghana. Since 2019. Now, based on what I actually perceived then, that I would be in Ghana 3 years from 2019. 3 years from 2019 was 2022. But when 2022 came, I checked my heart and looked for the steering for Ghana. There was no steering. And I just left it. Because you must have to design ways, though. Because the Spirit of God operates in a flow. So I checked if there was any stirring. So there was no stirring. So if I had taken steps then, it would have not made any sense, because God would not be in it. So I just left it, because I know that in the fullness of time it's going to happen. Then early this year, the Lord came again. The Lord said, this year, I remember saying, I think I said it last year at the camp meeting with you last year, the next year we're going to Ghana, you know. I said that by prophetic inspiration. Then early this year again, the Lord came and confirmed the word again to me in a vision, and said, this year, he gave me two countries that I'll be going to this year, and Ghana was one of them. I said, okay, Lord. And the door has opened. Hallelujah. There's another country that I had wanted to go to since some years ago. And the Lord came again and said, the Lord said, next year you are going there. It is inspiration. Hallelujah. So, people will be asking you, what are you using? If you are following the inspiration of God. People ask me, how are you doing this? Guy, you don't be good. In your mind, you go just smile. Say, if only you know. Because they're just seeing you doing stuff and doing exercise and making major moves, and they will not be able to reconcile it to their knowledge of you. Because what's backing you up is not abroad, is above. Should I say that again? What's sponsoring us is not abroad, is above. It's inspiration. You know? Hallelujah. I'll end with this note. We're in a season where the Lord is heightening prophetic inspiration. And the Lord is calling our attention to prophetic inspiration. And the Lord is saying, follow the rivers.
follow the strength, follow the inspiration. You know, the Hebrew year we just came into, right, is the year 5785 or 5785. One of the two is scattered. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I really don't know so many things about Hebrew years. I really don't follow those stuff because I'm not moved in that order. But once and again, we've done things that later we'll now discover that it is in the Hebrew flows. So I just follow Christ and I see that, oh, the things you're doing is also, I mean, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Again and again and again and again, we've seen that here. Yeah, so when we're about to give birth to my first child, of course, the children of prophet are signs and wonders. When I'm about to give birth to my first child, I had an experience. An angel appeared to me, and the angel gave me a name, and the angel said, "That name is the Imisi Oluwa." Imisi Oluwa means the inspiration of God. Right? It means the inspiration of God. It means the breath of God. Then, after I received the name, I went to a meeting. We had already done the naming ceremony. Yeah, we did the naming ceremony. Follow me, because Hebrew calendar always comes around December, around September into October, right? To change the new year and all that. So God gave us the name already. Then we did the naming and all that. But around that same season, I was supposed to baptize. I was just started interpreting the new year that the Jewish calendar just came into, and he said the meaning of the numbers is the breath of God. I say, with the year goes small. That the meaning of the Jewish year we just entered as a time cycle in the spirit that prophetic people should align with is that the meaning of the numbers is the inspiration of God, the breath of God. When I went to mention that, then I was I've said once and again, just live in the spirit. I don't look for time gates, they look for me. I don't look for time portals, they find me. Because as long as you live in the spirit, you won't miss those things. Hallelujah. So recently, God has been bringing again to my heart the name of my child. Or anytime I see my child in recent times, I just remember God is saying to me, it is a season of inspiration. It is a season of inspiration. I remember the physical talking that came with it. It was after we gave birth to the baby on 27th, and Pastor Dan traveled to Maiduguri on 30th or 1st. Then it was that on 1st that I had a vision where the Lord said, leave your house in 30 days. And the Lord gave us the money to pay for a new house in 30 days. We didn't have any money on ground. God gave us the money to pay for a new house in 30 days. And the money, the house we got was times 3 of the rent we were paying in the place we were before we left. Times 3. And we didn't have any money before that time. But it was inspiration. So I remember I still preached around that, you know, around that same period. And I was saying that God is saying if we will follow the inspiration of the Spirit, we will see the demonstration of His power. Is this clear? So the witness of my baby's name and the witness of the Hebrew year and the witness of the change of apartment were all prophetic signs that there is something loud God is calling our attention to in the season, which is pay attention to divine inspiration. So maybe I would say prophetic inspiration is divine impulse. It is not the impulse of the flesh. It is not the impulse that is rooted to what someone thinks or what someone feels. It is the impulse of God. Divine impulse. That's what prophetic inspiration is. Hallelujah. Now look at this. Human impulse will lead you out of spiritual order, but inspiration will keep you in order. So it can be, you see that thing of impulse of, this thing, don't tell anybody. You must do it secretly. When you begin to hear things like that, watch it again. Even if you don't tell anybody. Amen. Understand that there are false spirits that give people false prophecies. This is the reason for which the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, try every spirit. Look at this. It says try every spirit because there are many false prophets. This simply means prophet speaks by spirit. One. Two, it also means that people receive prophecies by spirit. It also means that the things that you receive by yourself that you write down are also from spirit. The Bible now says, try every spirit. So that you won't be the first prophet that you are supposed to be careful about. If you don't try false spirit, that's what will become of you. Now let me tell you this. That something sounds nice doesn't mean God is in it. Somebody came to me one time and the person began to prophesy about the work I was doing in Ilorin. The person began to prophesy that this work in Ilorin would travel to, that this work would be everywhere. The person started mentioning names of countries, plenty of countries. I just felt uncomfortable with the word. It sounds so nice. It sounds like glory to God. There's nothing glory in me. So I went to the Lord. The Lord said, don't mind him. I didn't send him. This person is a pastor. The Lord said, in Yoruba, I said, Mama, that loan me, man. I said, that's what the Lord told me. Don't mind him, I didn't send him. When he said those things, I wrote them down. But I just had the check, so I put question mark around it. So when I went to the Lord, the Lord said this thing, I just tore it away from my journal. I mean, why will I be keeping what God did not say? So what's that? But this same person has given me accurate prophetic words. In fact, I remember when I went, okay, let me not go further so that people here will not know the person. Amen. Now, this person has given accurate words that came to pass. So, when that happened, I did not dishonor him. Because I can be him in another context, owing to mercy. It's mercy that keeps us from presumptuousness. It's just that you can love somebody so well and say, I prophesy. The Lord is showing me next time you get married. Because you love them so much and you are tired of their being single. So God did not show you. He said, I just said, I declare and declare by faith. This time next year you'll be married. Is still okay? Because the year you say you declare by faith, so they can't say that Papa prophesied. Did you not hear when I said I declare by faith? But if you're not going to say I prophesy as I'm commanded by the see them, not them with the talk. Not them. By this time next year, you will be married. Better say amen. Because nobody knows if I am prophesying, I am making an analogy. Even me, I don't know. But I prophesy. But by this time next year, the story will be different. You would have been maritally settled. Either married or about to. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God forever. Are we blessed? Impulse leads us with haste. It leads us out of divine order. That is rooted in self-confidence. It's rooted in arrogance. It's rooted in self-willed. Amen. Then, one of the things that strengthens impulse is the idols of our desires. The idols of our desires. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. You know, you can be in a meeting and the Lord is leading you to meet somebody to pray for you. Right? You're in a meeting and the Lord is leading you to meet somebody. And then at the same time, your impulse can move you. Because you saw the way this person was ministering. You see power. You say, if only I can trust the hem of our garment. So your impulse moves you that the person should pray for you. And the Lord is not in it. But you know what I found out? The Bible says, gather to me the 70 elders. I will end here. The Bible says, gather to me the 70 elders. And I, God, will take from the spirit that is upon Moses, and I will place it on them. I, God. So, if your impulse leads you to go and meet Daddy G-O-G-O-G-O, the daddy of Daddy G-O, the spiritual father of the spiritual father, that spiritual great grandfather. Amen. If your impulse leads you to and the Lord is not leading you. They may pray for you, you may fall down, but there won't be any deposit that is strong. Because it is God that takes and puts. But if the Lord leads you, there will be major transfer. So I'm saying, desires are good as long as they are anchored to discernment.
Our desires are good as long as we are anchored to discernment. And I said, when the voice of desires becomes so loud, discernment becomes weakened. Let us pray, because we can continue like this. Are we blessed? Father, we thank you for tonight. One prayer point. Lord, I ask that